Our message this morning is turn this test into your testimony. Turn this test into your testimony. Title reflects the theme. The theme this morning is the purpose of the trials in your life. Now, let me just ask, have you ever had just one of those days where it seemed like the situation was going from bad to worse, when nothing seemed to be working out in your favor? It's just one thing after another. There's actually a word for this, like a phrase. It's called Murphy's Law. And Murphy's Law is really, if something can go bad, it's going to go bad. Here are some examples. Uniforms, when you get a new job, uniforms generally come in only two sizes, too large and too small. Important documents that we send out, with no errors, somehow develop errors on the way. And so we have to go back and fix it. Always when you're in the store, the other line moves faster than your line does. In order to get a bank loan, you first have to prove to the bank that you don't need the money. Have you realized that? You have to show them, I've got the money in the bank, so I can prove that I don't need this bank loan, but I need to get this bank. It doesn't make any sense, right? If you drop a piece of buttered toast, it always falls on the buttered side down. I don't know why, but it does. If everything seems to be going well, you've obviously overlooked something. You can always hit a target when you're not trying to hit the target or when no one's watching. The moment somebody starts watching, you're gonna miss the target. No one is listening to you until you make a mistake. If you plan a picnic, Murphy's Law is that it's gonna immediately start to rain on you, weather will turn bad. You lose your needle or you lose something sharp in the carpet, and your husband will always find it when he's walking around barefoot, which is pain. You can always count on a slow driver being in front of you. And then when you go to pass that slow driver, Murphy's Law is that the moment you pull out and around to speed up, there's a cop waiting for you with the radar out, right? It just so happens that is how it works. We know that bills travel through the mail twice as fast as checks do. These are Murphy's Law, okay? Things that just make a bad day worse or just give us a bad day out of the gate. And there are times, though, when in life, it's more than just this. It's more than a stain on the tie or the shirt. It's more than rain on your picnic or a ticket from a cop. There are real unexpected trials and troubles and tribulations that come your way that you're forced to deal with that you were not expecting. And I want to give you today really just a new framework of how to view these unexpected trials and difficulties. And the way we view them will directly impact the way that we go through them. And so how you view hardship determines how you react when they come. Here's a simple little phrase. Outlook impacts the outcome, or attitude determines the action. Let me say it again. Your outlook will impact the outcome of the situation. Your attitude will determine the action that you take. Every time you go through hardship, you should be glad. Here's the summary of our text today. You should be glad when you go through hardship and thankful, because biblically we know that God is using these hardships in our life to produce and develop real, strong, faithful, dependable faith. God is at work in our lives, even in the difficulties. And so we can say that our values determine our evaluations. What we value and the things that we hold dear, they determine our evaluations of life around us and what comes our way. If we value comfort more than character, then when difficulties come, you're going to get real upset, because you'd rather be comfortable and not have any rain, any hardship, any difficulties. If you value comfort over character, then you're gonna have a hard time. But if you value character over comfort, then you're going to realize, okay, God, you're doing something in me. If we value the material and the physical more than the spiritual, then we will not be able to count it all joy, as it tells us in our scripture today, when we experience a bad day. If we live only for the present and forget the future, then trials will make us bitter and not better. The Bible says that Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. He is the one that started the good work in you, and He is the one that's going to bring it to completion. We learned that when we went through Philippians. God, who gave you the faith that you're starting with, is right now working on that faith. God doesn't leave you where He found you. He is right now working on your faith. He wants to test it, develop it, grow it, purify it, strengthen it. And that's what our scripture will teach me and you today. Because we are God's scattered people, last week we learned about the scattering of God's people. He pushes us out through hardships and trials. He pushes us out to the world. Because we're God's scattered people and not God's sheltered people, we must experience trials. We can't always expect everything to go our way as Christians. In verse 2, it says in the New Living Translation, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Or as we just heard, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He opens up with this word, "my brothers." So we know who he's talking to. He's talking to the family of God. If you are a believer, which I believe all of you are, James is talking to you. To us that have been scattered, we're out of our comfort zone. To those that are away from the norm and in a strange place, because we belong in heaven, so we're in a strange place on earth. He says, "I want to remind you that you are not alone. My brothers, you're in this together." Believers are not meant to suffer alone. That is something that we all realize, and we come to see that lots of Christians attempt to go through hardships by themselves, and that only makes it more difficult. But when you have other believers around you who suffer really well, that weep with those who weep and those that rejoice with those who rejoice, the more that hear of your hardships when you go through difficulties, the more that reach out to you and the more that encourage you, it makes your experience all the greater. It is a benefit when you don't suffer alone. And so this is his quick exhortation. I've got a few points this morning, but here's one big takeaway that I see from our text as we jump into it. Number one is this: trials can be an unexpected blessing. Trials in your life, they can be an unexpected blessing. Look at verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." That word "count," it means to like consider or esteem. See it as all joy. And this is kind of strange, a weird command that when you're having a bad day, be happy about it. That's very strange. The word "joy," though, is more than just happiness. It is a genuine, heartfelt, like a gratitude, an appreciation, not a belly laughing, but a heart smiling. Christians are under the divine command, not simply to be somewhat joyful in their trials, but to look upon our trials with all joy. Here's an example. There are a few things that you can count on in life that bring you joy. It might be family, kids, a funny movie, things that go your way and it brings a good amount of joy, a smile to your face. I guarantee you, though, that trials and difficulties aren't one of those things that bring you joy and satisfaction in life. It doesn't make your top 10. But this is what God wants us to include in our top 10. When we list the amazing things that bring us joy in life, the Christian includes hardship, difficulty, trials, tribulations, storms as a source of joy. So let me ask, have you ever thanked God for the hardship that you've experienced in your life? Have you ever known somebody that has done that? Someone who's able to look back and see what they've come from and the trouble that they were in, and they can say, "Man, I'm so thankful. I'm so appreciative for that season in my life. This truth is all over the Bible, by the way. In 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." The fact is, when Christians go through hardship, people listen to you more than when you're going through beautiful sunshine and flowers type day. You might not see them listening to you or realize that they're listening, but they really are. They're listening to us when things go well, but they're listening even more carefully when we're in the midst and the middle of some of the hardest times of our life. And the world around us, when they see us in the midst of our hardship, what they're saying to themselves is this: man, these Christians, they're thankful to God when life is going their way, but I really see them being thankful to God when they didn't see what came their way. Now, I'm reminded of this just because back in California, I did have a senior pastor named Greg Laurie who went through a really hard time. He went through a very insane season when his son was killed in an automobile accident. And I remember some of those immediate sermons that he came out with right after his son's death that was talking about joy in hardship. And he had this quote that I really liked. He said, "Any idiot can be happy when things are going reasonably well. But when you're facing adversity or sickness or hardship or death, and then you rejoice, that's obedience. That's faith. And that's very pleasing to the Lord," end quote. The Christian life is different than the world's picture of life because we're able to rejoice in good days and bad days. And as Christians, we're not afraid of either. We're actually anticipating and ready for both. Like, we look up at God and we say, "Okay, God, whatever you want to bring my way today, whether it's a sunshine or whether it's clouds, Lord, I trust you. And I'm going to expect, Lord, that you're going to do work in my life through, again, the good, the light, and the dark." And that's why even James says, "Listen, my brothers, would you count it all joy? Would you consider it joy when you fall into various trials?" Notice that word "when." He doesn't say the word "if." It's not like, if there's a chance that you get a storm overhead. It's like, no. You're going to go through hardship, family. It's going to happen. I promise. It's only a matter of time when you go through the unexpected. Now, I've got an app on my phone. It's called My Radar. I don't know what you use for your weather app, but I really like it. Even with the hurricane that just recently came by, you know, I'm obviously here in Alabama, and so we got just a little bit of it. But I was looking at the hurricane and watching it on my radar. It was pretty cool because I can see the path of the hurricane. I can see what's overhead. I can see what's on the way. I can see what just passed and if we're just coming out of it. But there is a truth. Even though I can observe what's happening in life around me, I still have no control of what the weather is going to do or where it's going to go. So I can watch it, but it doesn't really make a difference. You know, it's either for the Christian life, it's either that you're in a storm or that you're coming out of a storm or that you're getting ready to go into a storm. You need to anticipate hardship and not be caught off guard by it. Your outlook will impact your outcome. Your attitude determines the action. Here's what he says as we go a little bit further. "My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." That word "fall" means encounter or face, meet what comes your way. The Greek word here, peripeteo, it means this unwelcome or unanticipated experience. More than just Murphy's Law, it's a real hardship that impacts you to the core that you didn't see on the radar. Maybe a trouble in your job, your company, an unexpected situation with your children, a diagnosis with a loved one, maybe problems just in your neighborhood or in your own heart. unexpected anxiety and depression, things that happen out of the blue. He's talking about these real situations. You can't escape from it. Can't get away from it. You can't escape some of these situations. And that's what makes it so hard. And James says, in these scenarios, you're to have joy. Now, what's the reason why we're to have joy? Because that's going to help us. It doesn't really do to tell you to be happy and be joyful when hardship comes, unless I tell you why. Like, what's the motivation for me? What's the reason for me to be happy when it sucks, when it's hard, and when it's not changing, and the circumstance isn't getting any better, and it's hard. It's this. It's because we know a secret about the trials and the tests. And here's what the text tells me and you, verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The reason why you are able to have a smile in your soul when you're suffering is because God is at work in my life. My good Heavenly Father's doing something in me. There's a lot going on around me, but there is more happening inside me. That's why point number 2 is this. The faith that isn't tested cannot be trusted. The faith that isn't tested cannot be trusted. It says that the testing of your faith produces patience. That word testing means like a result of a genuine test to see if it's authentic, if it's real, without alloy, if we're talking about metals, that it's a real $100 bill, it's not a counterfeit. When God's people go through personal trials, they discover what kind of faith they really possess. Trials reveal what faith we have. Not because God doesn't know how much faith we have, but so that our faith will be evident to ourselves and to those around us. You know, we've heard these examples. Faith is a lot like a muscle. As you use it and work out your muscles, they grow in size and in strength. The way muscles grow, by the way, let me give you a little bit of a kinesiology breakdown. Muscles grow by the overuse and the breakdown of those muscles. So you have to break down the muscles in order for them to build up. Working out causes these micro tears in your muscle fibers, trauma to the muscle fibers and cells. Muscle hypertrophy occurs when the fibers of the muscles sustain damage or injury. The body repairs damaged fibers by fusing them, which increases the mass and the size of the muscles. That's why they grow. And so in order to be built up when you're working out, you first have to be broken down. You break down to build up. Your faith is a muscle now in the same way. God will break you down. Why? Because he's building you up. That's the reason why. And what we learned today is that trials are God's gym to break down and build up your faith muscle. Trials are a testing of your faith. God uses trials and hardships to teach you, to grow you, to mold you and develop you into a saint ready for heaven. If you're a Christian and you're experiencing or you've recently experienced hardship, that means that God is at work in your life. You are in God's gym at the moment. And I want to tell you, you may have a membership to Gold's Gym, but real faith that's more precious than gold is only produced in God's gym. The faith that isn't tested cannot be trusted. Now, we get this because the pilot that isn't tested can't be trusted. The brain surgeon that isn't tested cannot be trusted. So too, the faith that isn't tested should not be trusted. Like, you wouldn't risk your life on a plane without a trusted pilot. You're going to assume that he's got all of his credentials, that he's got the right amount of flight hours in practice, that he's not some newbie that just put on a hat and a little pin and he's hopping behind, you know, the controls of an airplane. I hope not. I mean, we're taking it for granted that this dude has been vetted and tested. Same thing with a doctor. You're not going to risk your life on the operation table with a doctor that has not gone through proper training to get where he's at. A doctor that's not been tested should not be trusted. You shouldn't risk your eternity on a flimsy faith. And God will make sure of it. Faith will always be tested. Testing works for us, not against us. It's building you, in breaking you. And God always tests us to bring out the best. Which on the opposite side of that, Satan will tempt you to bring out the worst. So when you've got temptation and sin all around you, just know that Satan is trying to get you for your destruction. But God, on the other hand, is testing for the building. Trials will work for the believer to help us, not be against us. Trials rightly used will help us mature. Now, what does God want to produce in our lives as we kind of round up and finish out our message this morning? What is He producing? It says in our text, patience and endurance, the ability to keep going when things get tough. That word patience there, it's hupomene. Same word for abide. Same Greek word for endurance. It means to bear up under, staying power, perseverance. Again, endurance. This word doesn't just describe a passive waiting, but an active endurance. You know, it's been said that Christians are like tea bags. You never know what they're made of until you put them in hot water. And this is the idea that we are put in hot water and we start emitting what's inside of us. Now, it isn't so much the quality that helps you sit quietly in the doctor's waiting room, but it is the quality that helps you finish a marathon. You know, when me and you go through hardship, we have to really ask ourselves, what are we doing? How are we responding? And what am I telling others about the God who's put me in these hardships? And that's why point number three is the title of our message this morning. Point number three is this: you should turn your test into your testimony. This test should be used not as a way to complain, but as a way to celebrate. This test that you're in isn't a way for you just to gripe, but it's a way for you to praise. To say, look, God is at work in me. Turn this test into your testimony. It says in verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. These two words describe the goal that God is after in your life. To mature you, to complete you. That word mature is teteloi, and it means to be finished. Same word that Jesus used on the cross when he said, it is finished. Tetelestai is the same concept. It means that I've finished it. I've completed it. It's over. And the word complete, it means whole in the Greek. It's not part. It means a completion or a whole. It's a puzzle that has been finished. The final piece is put in and you can see the whole puzzle. The idea of perfected, all over, fully developed in every part. And so I ask you in your life, what things need to be matured, completed, and developed? Make no doubt about it. God is going to make sure that those things get matured and completed and developed. God is developing your life. And so if you notice it, He notices it. And He's taking an active role in your life to mature you in those areas. But there's also areas that you don't know about yet and will catch you by guard, but God knows what He's doing. God will always try to ripen the fruit in your life to bring it to fruition. He will develop you like a baby in a womb to have it be that when you reach heaven, you are ready. He's like a master chef that knows the right temperature and how long to keep you in the heat, so that He brings you out as fully mature and cooked properly. Paul says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. We know in 2 Corinthians, it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Trials can be faced with joy, infused with faith, and perseverance is the result. It's possible. And if perseverance goes full term, it will develop a thoroughly mature Christian who lacks nothing. A Christian who lacks nothing. That's what God is after. It reminds me, as I've got here in my backyard, a lot of caterpillars and cocoons that are all over my trees. I've got massive pecan trees in my backyard. Here in the South, by the way, they say pecan. Man, in California, it's pecan, all right? So I have to correct everybody. It's not a pecan. It's a pecan. Anyway, I've got pecan trees in my backyard and all of these cocoons all over it. So these little tiny caterpillars are making all these just cocoons and you can see them. It's pretty gnarly to see. But I know this about these caterpillars. They're churning into a moth. They're churning into a butterfly. And that process is a difficult process. The struggle out of the chrysalis. The struggle is what moves and squeezes all of the blood into those wings that have been formulated and the metamorphosis that happens. It needs to go through that struggle of that cocoon in order to turn into that butterfly or into that moth. And it's the same way with you as a Christian. As I end, this is the same truth. God has to put you through these tests in order to mature you into the Christian you're supposed to be. The fight enables the flight. If you're in a test, it's just a test. Turn it into your testimony. But you might say, well, I'm sick and tired of this test, Jason. Well, there's only one way to bring this test to a close. And it's not by skipping out on it, but it's by passing it. If you want this test to be finished, then pass the test. Well, I didn't sign up for this test. I know you didn't. But God enrolled you in it, and He wants you to pass it. God brings you a test because He's bearing in you a testimony. I close with this example. There's a book I read not too long ago called The Grand Weaver. And it has a story about a man who traveled to India. And while he was there, he was watching some street vendors making rugs and tapestries. And this is what it says. He says, my wife and I once visited a world famous weaver and watched this man with a woman work on the looms. I noticed that the undersides of the rugs were not very beautiful. The patterns were obscure and there was a lot of loose ends, yarn dangling from everywhere. But then our guide that was with us, noticing our confusion, said, make sure you don't judge the worker or the work by looking at the wrong side. Step on this side and let's see what work is being produced by the master weaver. As they turned and looked, they saw a beautiful tapestry, lots of designs. One side of the rug in the tapestry seems like chaos and confusion and loose ends. But as you step on the other side, you see the grand plan. And I just want to encourage you, you might not be able to see what God is doing right now. It seems like loose ends, things are a mess, don't make sense. You don't even know how to connect the dots, but one day you will enter eternity. You will see the other side and you will look back and see the grand work that God was doing in your life, producing something beautiful in you, molding you and shaping you for His glory. God is doing a work, friends, and He's not finished yet. So don't despair. Don't give up. Trust the grand weaver. His hands are on you, which means He's not forgetting you or neglecting you, but He's, oh man, loving you and molding you. Turn your test into a testimony. You won't regret it. Let me pray. God, I thank You for this morning. Thank You for this time. And God, I pray that You would work these truths deep into our hearts, that we would have joy in difficulty, not just a belly laugh, but a heart that smiles, knowing that You're involved in our life in the hardship. I thank You for this day. I thank You for my friends. And I pray Your blessing, Lord, over this time. In Jesus' name, amen.